Hey, welcome to Talent Management Office podcast number 4. This is Colonel Farrell. I'm the deputy TMO. And I just want to address who this podcast is for and why we're doing it. So this podcast really is for movers. We're going to focus on the assignment instruction process. I think we have a bunch of different audiences. Those folks who have never PCS'd. So if you're new to moving in the military, we hope to provide information that will make it less stressful. And then if you have moved, perhaps you've PCS'd a bunch of times, but you've never done it under IPSE, this information, we hope, will fill in the gaps for you as to how that process works and what to expect. I am joined today by our subject matter expert in all things HRC, IPSE, and that is Ms. Kelly Yandel. For those who have dealt with Kelly, either on a myriad of issues that she deals with, you know how exceptional she is. But I just wanted to give you some background on Ms. Kelly Yandel, whose role in our talent management office is critical. So she went to ROTC at Cal State Fullerton. She was a Army and AG officer from May 2010 to December 2017. She served as an S1 at JBLM, went to the career course, and then finished her career at Fort Campbell as an active duty officer. And then she came to USALSA in August of 2020 and remained there until October of 2022, at which time she shifted to then PPTO, now TMO. And it's been our great fortune to have Kelly on our team just because of her professionalism and her ability to solve problems. In fact, your problems, right? Problems that come from the field as we as attorneys try to figure out the human resource process in the Army, which can be complicated. So just really fortunate to have Kelly with us today. And she'll talk primarily about assignment instructions, the process, and the EFMP considerations during your moves. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kelly.
Yes, thank you. So really, I just wanted to go over the process of the assignments from when it's created until the officer receives their orders. And then we'll go into some of the responsibilities for each of the sections. And then we'll talk about some of the considerations during the assignment process. And then I would also like to discuss some EFMP issues. So first, let's talk about the assignment process. Now, assignment instructions are created outside of IPSE in a different system. Your career manager or talent manager is going to go into your system and they're going to link the officer to the specific assignment. They're going to add any special instructions for that assignment, and then they release the assignment. Once it's released, it gets pulled in through a file into another system, and then it gets transferred into IPSE. If everything goes right, then the officer should receive an email saying that their member elections can be completed. And the member elections are just the officer saying who they are wanting to travel on their orders. So any dependent that is going to travel on their orders, and then it's going to ask about their government travel card and how they're going to be billed for it. Once the officer completes their member elections, then they need to get with their G1s and S1s to find out what local requirements is needed for the military processing division, which is where you in-process and out-process an installation, for them to actually create the orders, because they're the ones responsible for creating the orders. So that, in a nutshell, is the assignment process. So some of the responsibilities. Your assignment or talent manager is going to be focus on the assignment and what you need to be successful for that assignment, right? So they're going to say when you need to be there, what your pinpoint assignment is. If you need anything special for that assignment, like a top secret security clearance or a maroon passport, or maybe you need to go TDY en route to a course for that assignment, that's what they're focused on. The officer is responsible for completing their member elections in a timely manner and then coordinating with their S1s and G1s and the military processing divisions to make sure that you are completing any requirements that you need in order to receive your orders into PCS. So for example, Oconus, if you're going Oconus, you have to clear EFMP and command sponsorship if you're trying to take dependents. And those can take anywhere from 30 to 60 days to get that clearance. You want to make sure that you are getting with the responsible agencies to make sure that you are doing what you need to meet all of those gates to get your orders and to arrive on time to your next assignment. Now, the military processing division, they are the ones that determine your entitlements. So it's anything really like pay related. They will look at where you're going, and from the joint travel regulation, they're able to determine what entitlements you're supposed to get for that assignment. So anything really like pay related is going to be your MPD's responsibility. And also some other SMEs, really like finance and then transportation, can also be good sources of information for those entitlements. But for your talent manager, we aren't the masters of the joint travel regulation. So you can always ask the question if there's a certain entitlement that you want to ask about, and we'll try to direct you in the direct you to the correct point of contact. But we can't determine anything if we can't give you an entitlement if you are entitled it. Now, there are exceptions to policy, but those are not processed through us. They're normally going to be processed through the G1, but your MPD and your S1 should be able to help guide you through that process. But you can always ask the question and we'll try to help out too.
Yeah, Kelly, if I could just jump in there, just as from a talent manager's perspective, when you develop your we default to 15 July report dates. We get a lot of questions about, can I push it to the left? Can I push it to the right? That's a conversation that has to happen between the officer who's moving and they're gaining and losing units. So you want to coordinate with the SJAs on either end, or your leadership on either end, to determine what dates will work for you. We don't dictate that. We can change it in the assignment instruction and then and maybe make changes in IPSE, but we don't dictate that. Similarly, if you have questions about, you know, can I move my pets? Does the credit cars, movement of things? That's all your local MPD, not TMO. Thanks, Kelly.
Yes, that is correct. Now, for the officer, you want to complete your member elections as soon as possible, because the MPD can't start their process until you've done your member elections, because they have to know who's moving and then how you're going to be billed in order to start filling in all the entitlements. So for the officer, if you want to speed up the process, just make sure that you're completing your member elections in a timely manner, and that you're getting with your G1s and S1s to find out what other requirements you need to complete.
Kelly, can you describe the member election for those that haven't done it before? So they get a notification email, go into IPSE via this link and fill out your member elections. Can you describe what that is?
Yeah, so the member elections, it's going to ask you, it'll have a list of all your dependents, if you have dependents, and then you have to hit yes or no, whether you want them to travel with you. And then it's also going to ask you if you're a government travel card holder. And those are like the two main things with the member elections. So it's really like how you're going to be billed and then which dependents are traveling with you.
Thanks.
And if you, so we talked about how the assignments are created outside of IPSE. So this creates a few issues, right? When your assignment transfers into IPSE, it's going to just grab any position that matches your rank in MOS. And if there isn't one open, then it's going to just try to grab any standard access template just to get your assignment to process through IPSE. So when you get your orders, your duty title is most likely not going to be correct. And that's okay. You want to make sure that the location and the unit are correct. And once you get there, your S1 can then reslot you. And this is because we can't double slot. So if someone's currently serving in the position you're going to go into, you can't be slotted there until they move. And your S1 is responsible for unit slotting. So they'll be able to fix that when you get there. You don't need to worry about that. You're also going to receive an amendment to your current assignment. And that's just setting an end date to your current assignment so that it can start your next assignment. That's not anything to be concerned about. And also, because it's coming from outside of the system, there can be several different data issues that can prevent the assignment from processing into IPSE. So if you know that you're supposed to receive the member election email, but you haven't got anything, it's been about a week, You need to reach back out to, well, first go into IPSE and then search member elections, because you don't, sometimes the email isn't going to come to you, or maybe it goes to your junk or it goes to like an old email. Just search in IPSE first for the member elections. If they aren't there, then reach back out to us. And then one important thing to note, you will not receive a member election email if there are no entitlements linked to that assignment. So if you're going from one unit on post to another unit, it's a no-cost move. You're not going to get the member election email because you don't need to make any member elections. So you just need to work with your S1s and G1s to get those orders. So there might be some local clearing requirements that they want you to do before they release the orders. If you are PCSing, those have to go to your military processing division, and that's so they can fill in all the entitlements and then cut your orders. So I hope that kind of explains the general process and who's responsible along the way. So really, your talent manager releases the assignment instructions, the assignment processes into IPSE, which takes about a day or two. The officer completes their member elections and then coordinates with their G1 to complete any local requirements. And then your military processing division adds in all your entitlements and then creates your orders.
It's a really beautiful process, and we're happy to be a part of it, but we don't control all of it. So I appreciate you laying that out, Kelly. That's awesome.
Yes. And so some things that hinder the assignment process, if you're going CONUS, like I mentioned, you want to make sure that you're staying on top of the EFMP screening for your dependents and the command sponsorship. So for EFMP, if you're going CONUS and you're taking your dependents, every single dependent has to be screened for EFMP. So even if you've never been enrolled, you still have to go through the screening. And it is possible that during that screening that one of your dependents might get enrolled. And that's going to just lengthen the process because now they have to make sure that services are available at your gaining location. So you want to make sure that you get started on that process as soon as possible. So if you already have a dependent enrolled in EFMP, we have to pre-clear you for any assignment. So if you're going CONUS, OCONUS, it doesn't matter. If you have a family member in the program, you have to get screened, and we have to make sure that services are available at the gaining location before we can even release an assignment instruction.
I just wanted to point out that this comes up quite a bit. EFMP, we screen before the assignment instruction can be produced. So we cannot produce an assignment instruction if the EFMP information is expired or there are no services available. We don't determine whether services are available or not. That is something the local MTF handles. And so TMO has very limited influence and access over that program. The onus is really on the soldier. So I just wanted to lay that out for folks based on experiences that we've had in the past. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yes. Yeah, so as a part of the pre-assignment process, your career manager or talent manager, is screening you through the Enterprise EFMP system. That's just the website. They go in and they submit inquiries to different locations so that they have a better idea of like what a viable option for an assignment is going to be. Because if services aren't available, we cannot send you there. And if your EFMP is expired, the system does not allow us to submit the inquiry. And that's because the military treatment facility that's reviewing your packet makes a determination based off the level of care and then the frequency of care. So if your packet is expired, they're going to assume that that information is no longer valid and you need to go in and get it updated so that they have an accurate picture of the level of care that you need. And that's how they're making the determination. And like Colonel Farrell said, if it's a no, if services aren't available, like we cannot trump that. We cannot release an assignment instruction unless you have been pre-cleared. So not having an updated EFMP or an expired EFMP will slow down the process.
And as part of the resources we're giving you in this podcast, we're linking the EFMP link so you can go in on your own and just, you know, look at least the information in the system for you and your dependents. Any other EFMP related issues that you wanted to cover, Kelly?
Oh, so the disenrollment process, I wanted to bring that up. So you have to actively disenroll if you no longer think that your dependent needs to be enrolled in EFMP. Letting it expire does not remove you from the program. It's just going to hold up the process even more. You have to actively disenroll. So I just wanted to highlight that, because a lot of people, I think, just let it expire and they don't realize that that doesn't pull them out of the program.
And if you have questions as to, geez, should I be enrolled in EFMP? What does that look like? We've also linked some informative slides about how you determine whether you need to enroll in EFMP, and then just some of the steps or considerations in the EFMP process. Any other points, Kelly, before we wrap it up?
So I think we hit the highlights, really. I just wanted to go over, like you said, the process, different responsibilities along the way, and then some of the assignment considerations that we get a lot of questions on, and then just the EFMP process. So hopefully that helps people get started on their PCS moves. And I mean, if you do have any questions, you can always reach out to us and we'll try to help, of course.
So thanks again for joining us on this fourth podcast. I know it's a lot of information, a lot of nuts and bolts, but hopefully for those of you who are going through the process, who have received assignment instructions from your talent manager, there's some good, useful information in here for you. We look forward to doing another podcast. It'll be boards focused, boards related, here in the early spring. So look out for that. And to all of you in the field, we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And we just thank you so much for all you're doing for soldiers everywhere. Thanks again.